That's the sound of somebody who's very serious about running a really fun committee that's very tight on time, and we're going to keep everything moving along, okay? So we're going to call the meeting to order, and Representative Ryer, can I get an approval for the minutes from Tuesday, April 1st, when Co-Chair Lee held the gavel?
So moved, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Ryer. Members, are there any questions, comments, concerns on the minutes from April 1st, April Fool's Day? No? All right. Seeing none, all those that approve, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposition? All right. Minutes are approved. Fantastic. First up, we are going to have Representative Burkle. Before we go on to that, members, we have about 3 to 5 minutes, so please, members, keep your comments short. Let your testifiers shine and highlight the needs of your community. Representative Burkle, please go with House File 604.
All right. Thank you, Chair Francis and members of the committee. Grateful for the opportunity to present House File 604, which is intended to fund the final phase of the Carlson Municipal Airport construction project up in Kitson County. This phase is critical for completing this necessary infrastructure for Northwest Minnesota. And to ensure we use the committee's time wisely and effectively, I'd like to just turn this over and defer detailed explanation of this final construction phase to my testifiers, Madam Chair. So could we go to the mayor of Carlstead? Dale Nelson, I think, is on Zoom.
Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Good. Okay. Thank you, Chair Francis and members of the committee. My name is Dale Nelson. I'm here today on behalf of the City of Carlstead to express our strong support for the funding of the final phase of the Carlstead Municipal Airport construction project. When completed, the new Carlstead Municipal Airport will be a critical piece of infrastructure for northwestern Minnesota, serving both recreational and business users. Our legislature has invested in this vision in the past, for which we are very grateful. However, without the final phase of construction, the airport cannot yet meet the needs of key industries that contribute to our local and regional economy. With your continuing support, we can complete this project, unlock the economic opportunities, and ensure long-term regional growth. The importance of this airport cannot be overstated. Several major businesses in our area rely on aviation for their operation and their ability to grow and directing tied to the capabilities of our airport. Mattrax Incorporated is the world's largest rubber track conversion manufacturer that exports to 140 countries and owns 4 aircraft. However, due to the runway limitations, most of this aircraft are based elsewhere. Mattrax has ambitious plans to build a research and design facility for electric aviation right at the Carlstead Airport, an opportunity we cannot afford to miss. Carlstead could be on the cutting edge of a new aeronautical industry. Kicking Up Country is our region's largest music festival, which attracts thousands of visitors and high-profile performers each year. A paved and lighted runway will ensure and enhance the accessibility for these events, boosting tourism and local business revenue. Wixom Telephone Company and Greenway Companies both utilize aviation for business mobility and consulting services, highlighting the need for reliable and efficient airport infrastructure. Aerial agricultural sprayers from around the region have also expressed interest in basing new aircraft at our facility to serve and expanding their base for customers and saving farmers money. With these companies and many others invested in the future of Carlstead aviation capabilities, completing this project will serve a catalyst for job creation, increased tax revenue, and further business development in our region. Since 2018, the City of Carlstead has worked diligently alongside the State of Minnesota and MnDOT to improve our regional economics through the Essential Airport Infrastructure Project. With your support, we have already secured funding for Phase 1 and Phase 2, totaling $9.7 million. This funding enabled crucial engineering, land acquisition, environmental work, and site preparation. However, to complete the effort and ensure the airport is fully functional, we now seek 9.7 for phase 3. The final phase includes the paving of the runway, taxiway, an apron, a relocation of a nearby township road for safety, installation of runway lighting, navigational aids, and the additional of a revenue-generating aviation fuel system. The total project cost is $19.2 million. Due to previous investments, we are just one step away from completing the vital infrastructure project. Your support now will ensure that Carlson Municipal Airport can serving our community and regional economy, at full capacity. On behalf of the City of Carlstead and many businesses and residents who will benefit from this investment, I respectfully request your support for the $9.7 million in Minnesota legislative bonding to complete phase three of the new Carlstead Municipal Airport. Thank you for your time and consideration, and I welcome any questions you may have.
All right. Thank you for that. Members, Representative Burkle, did you have anything else
nothing,
to add?
I don't have anything further other than I do have Angela Holm here from Pauli. If we had any technical questions, okay. Other than that, open for questions from members.
Thank you. Members, are there any questions? Representative Frederick, Vice Chair Frederick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I just want to make sure that my understanding of this is the initial funding of this project also came from the legislature, and so this is the ask. So 100% of the funding for this is coming from the legislature is the ask. Is that what is happening here?
Representative Burkle.
And Madam Chair, Representative Frederick, that would be correct, yes.
Representative Sexton, then we're going to move on.
Yes, ma'am, I have several questions. First one would be, what is the nearest airport and its size?
Representative Burkle.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, thank you, Representative Sexton, for that question. The nearest airport to Carlson would probably be, of that size, would probably be Roseau. Hallock would be close to that size as well. Probably distance-wise, 40, 50 miles. Roads would be about 70, I'd say, give or take.
Representative Sexton.
Did you receive any FAA funding for this project?
Representative Burkle.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Sexton, I'd have to turn that over. Do you know for sure? I don't believe we have.
No.
This is a brand new project. So I think this didn't qualify initially as I remember it. But this started, I mean, we're into the seventh year of this. The project started, I think, in 2017 prior to my getting into the legislature.
Those are the Fabian years.
It's been phased in for quite a while.
And had he done his job, you wouldn't have to be here, right? I'm kidding.
Thank you for
I'm
that.
Kidding.
I'm sure. I'll relay that to former Representative Fabian.
Kidding. All right. See, no other further. Representative Sexton?
Sorry, it's that pilot back.
Are you our frequent flyer today?
I am a frequent flyer.
All right,
flyer.
Good. Yeah, the new Roger Scraba right now.
Yeah. He touched on me.
Jury's out
All
on
right.
that one.
So I did not see any hangers in your request. Is that correct?
Representative Burkle or Ms. Holm?
Yeah, maybe you can answer the hanger question.
There are no hangers in this request. That's true.
Okay. One final question. Do you know what your annual operating costs are going to be?
Representative Burkle or Ms. Holm?
Yeah,
Ms. Holm?
Ms. Holm could probably answer that.
I do have that information, although I don't have it on me. I can provide it to the committee.
I'd be interested. Thank you.
Sure. You bet.
Okay. Thank you for your time, Representative Burkle. We appreciate you. Next up, we're having Representative Niska. Then we will have Representative Backer, followed by Representative Mueller. Representative Mueller, please make your way back with your testifiers. Thank you. And also, please remember to speak into the microphone, testifiers. It makes it so much easier for us to hear what is being said. And then Representative Bennett will be after Representative Mueller, so be ready. All right, Representative Niska, or I should say Leader Niska, please go forward with your bill, which is House File 2637 for Ramsey.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Co-Chair Lee and members of the committee. I appreciate the opportunity to discuss House File 2637 on behalf of the City of Ramsey. It's a funding for a water treatment plant, and I do have here with me to testify and answer any questions, Brian Hagen, the City Administrator from the City of Ramsey.
Mr. Hagen, you may proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Appreciate the time today to come forward to you once again, ultimately. This is a somewhat of an ongoing ask. I'll kind of touch on a brief history of this project. We planned for this project for many years, started saving up local funds for it with a planned construction date around that 2021-2022 mark. At that time, we estimated the project to be, and this included a water treatment plant and some trunk water main lines to connect it to our distribution system. We estimated that project to be about $32 million. We've asked for a $10 million appropriation from the state on a couple different times, and we were awarded $3.2 million a couple years ago. When we went to bid the project costs, of course, like many at that same time, drastically increased up to about $48 million was our estimate. We're happy to say, once we bid both projects, the actual project costs came in right around that $42 million mark. We have funded this project with 100% local funds outside of the $3.2 million. Unfortunately, that's required us to increase our water and sewer rates in the recent years, 10% going into 2023, 5% going into 2024, and then another 10% this year, with an assumed 5 to 10% increase for the foreseeable future. So we're here to ask for $6.8 million to kind of round out our $10 million ask that we've come forward the last few years. We would greatly appreciate it to provide that safe drinking water to our residents and visitors to our community.
Thank you. Do you have any other testifiers, Representative Niskot? Members, any questions? Okay, Leader Niskot, final words.
I appreciate the time and the consideration and the discussion. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for making your way down to testify today. Appreciate that. All right, Representative Backer. Representative Backer has House File 1972 for Breckenridge. Please state your name and proceed, Chair Backer.
Thank you, Chair Franson. This is really will help to unite the community, the area of Wilkin County. I'm going to turn it over to our testifier, Mr. Yagi.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Madam Chair Franson and Co-Chair Lee. Go Twins, I see. That's good. And Jeff Backer, thank you for all you do for us, and Dean Erdahl. The Infinity Center is a 501c3 group that has been developed. We've got a $26 million project, 95,000 square foot, we'll call it community center, whose fiscal agent will be the city of Breckenridge. We would be the tenant of it then. Currently, of the $26.1 million, we've raised $18.8 million. We are 7.3 away from completing this project. The Infinity Center, the fantastic thing about it is it's a springboard for something much bigger than a community center, okay? Inside the community center, I'll talk about that quick. We would have, you know, we have a company, a major healthcare system, Sanford Health, moving over from Wahpeton, North Dakota, come to be a tenant in our facility, assuming this facility is built. This is a major deal for our city, for our small town. Also, we would have our school district has interest in this too. They want to bring the alternative learning center program into our facility. They don't have a place for these people currently. They would like 5 classrooms. It's a great synergy for them with the gym space and the segregation from the school. They think it's a fantastic thing for the school district also. Along with our school district having a bonding, you know, we're looking at building a new school here, a referendum this fall. You know, we would provide gym space. The first one failed because they said too many gyms. You're focusing on athletics too much, and so it failed. So we kind of came in and said, you know, maybe we supply some of these gym spaces privately so the school system would benefit from this also, thus saving our egg to school quite a bit of money. Pickleball, we've got a group of 80 adults that travel all over trying to play pickleball. We would bring in full dedicated pickleball, basketball, batting cages. We get a sheet of ice in this, even though it's not part of the bonding side of things. Our ask is 7.3, which is 26.1 minus 18.8 gives us 7.3. The key for us is 4.7. That is a really important number for us. Our county has committed $5 million to this project. And that pledge goes away at the end of December 31st, 2025. So if we don't have $15 million in cash and pledges in our hand, we don't get the $5 million. It's a 3-to-1 ask. So our minimum request is 4.7, so that we can secure the funding from the county. If we don't get the 4.7, the county money goes away as of December 31st. What do you get for $7.3 million? We get a $26.1 million community center. You know, another thing that's really important to understand here is if we don't have the Infinity Center, there's things that go away. We've got a $30 million housing development, which you'll see on the back sheet, that is proposed around this site. They say if the Infinity Center doesn't happen, Sanford doesn't come over. If Infinity Center doesn't happen, our school district says, now I don't know where we're going to put the ALCP program. The Infinity Center doesn't happen, the housing district does not come in. The Infinity Center doesn't happen, we have a child care, Tiny Tykes, who has a facility in Wapiti, North Dakota, and Battle Lake. They came to us right away and said, hey, you guys put this in, we want a one-acre spot right next to you. So we lose a child care facility. They say, you know, 40 years ago, people went to where the jobs were. Nowadays, people go to where the amenities are. We don't have these amenities. We have jobs in our area. Our unemployment rate in Wilkin, Minnesota, and Richland, North Dakota, is between 1.7 and 2.4%. We need people. There's plenty of jobs. The Infinity Center will bring that space for families to want to live, and want to work, and really change the face of our area. Again, thank you guys. Our county doesn't ask for much. We haven't been here in probably 20, 30 years, so please support us. Any questions?
Members, any questions? Representative Kosnick, Chair Kosnick.
Thank you for your testimony and advocating for your city. Just a question with all the different connections and possible tenants in that. Are there joint agreements or leases secured, or is this?
Yes.
How tight are these connections is basically my question. Are we building it and hoping they will come?
Yes. Thank you very much.
Mr. Yeagy.
Yes.
We go through the chair. So I'm acknowledging you that you can speak now.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair Franson. The answer behind that is we have a lease from Sanford in place. We are already bidding that project for them. That part of the project is fully in motion. And I guess we're living a little bit off of faith with some of this, that we're going to get this project done, because Sanford is a big deal to us. Our high school, our school system is she calls us, and she's in their testimony. She really wants to see this happen because she doesn't know where to put these kids. They're going to tear down our old school. They don't have room for them in the new footprint that they're looking at building.
All right. You're good. All right. Chair Lee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just wanted to correct for the record for our members of the committee that when we enter into these type of agreement, it's not a fiscal agency. It's a public ownership. And so the city of Breckenridge will be owning the project until the useful life of the bonds. And so just so that everybody is clear. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. And if anybody has any further questions for Mr. Yeagy or Representative Backer, Chair Backer, please take them offline. All right. Seeing no other further questions, Representative Backer, would you like the final words?
Thank you.
All right. Next up, Representative Mueller, please come forward. And Representative Mueller, you have House File
629.
Fantastic. That is for Blooming Prairie. Please state your name for the record, and you may proceed.
All right, Representative Patricia Mueller from 23B. I have wonderful people to my right and left from Blooming Prairie. We, members of the committee, thank you for considering House File 629. Hopefully you have not only the bill in front of you, but the handouts that our mayor and fine people have given to you. This is an appropriation for Highway 218 for $3.9 million, and I'm going to send it over to our city engineer, Mr. Brett, over here, who is going to tell you all about it.
Fantastic. You just heard me. You have to go through the chair, Mr. Grabo. Were you not listening? You're right next to an educator, too. Turn our listening ears on. All right. You may state your name for the record and proceed.
Good morning. My name is Brett Grabo. I'm a city engineer for the city of Blooming Prairie. We're here asking for money for the Trunk Highway 218 utility and contamination remediation improvements project. Just a little background on this project. In 2018, MnDOT started a scoping project for the reconstruction of Trunk Highway 218 within the municipal limits of Blooming Prairie. Trunk Highway 218 runs from Austin on the south end up to Owatonna, with Blooming Prairie smack dab in the middle. The highway is in need of major repair, and they've done improvements both north and south of Blooming Prairie, but within the municipal limits of Blooming Prairie, they need to do a full reconstruct. And so the scoping started in 2018, with the city being a partner with MnDOT. In 2020, MnDOT initiated the preliminary design phase. As part of that, there was a phase two environmental investigation report that was started. Throughout that preliminary design, the phase two environmental investigation report had three different mobilizations out there in order to drill for contaminated soils. At this date and time, there is 1,880 pages and growing with that environmental investigation report. They're actually going out with another mobilization to do more drilling out there. With any trunk highway going through municipal limits, we anticipated some petroleum contamination, right? Every trunk highway going through a small town had a gas station on every corner. If we were to see those petroleums, we would have went after some petrol funds and tried to take care of that. What we didn't find, or what we didn't expect to find, was CVOCs throughout that whole corridor. There are industries along that trunk highway corridor within the municipal limits that have contaminated the soils and the groundwater within that corridor. And what's happening is the city of Blooming Prairie needs to replace their water distribution system and their sanitary sewer collection system within the corridor. And we've been told by both the MPCA and the PCA that when we dig that up, the contamination becomes our problem. So there's 20,500 cubic yards of material that would have to be excavated in order to install these new utilities. Once we excavate those, we need to haul those off to a landfill. We need to then replace that with clean granular backfill back in its place. Also, in order to put these utilities in, we need to pump the groundwater to get the utilities in. All of that groundwater then needs to be treated on an on-site treatment trailer and then through our wastewater treatment plant. With these increased costs, it's pushed the city's participation level up to just over $3.9 million. The corridor is full of CVOCs, which are then to become the city's problem when we're installing our new utilities. Project financials, we're looking for $3.9 million. Currently, the city of Blooming Prairie, just like any small municipality, has their own infrastructure needs within town that are in disrepair that need attention, and we're sitting at just over $3.6 million worth of bonding power for the city, bonding leverage. So we just don't have the ability to take on this public health risk completely on the backs of the residents of the city of Blooming Prairie. On behalf of the city of Blooming Prairie, we want to thank you guys for your time and consideration for this very important project to address the public health concerns with the drinking water and sewer collection system and the contamination within Trunk Highway 218.
And Madam Chair.
Yes.
And to my left here is the mayor of Blooming Prairie. I wanted to give him just a couple seconds.
Oh, certainly. So we have Mayor Ressler, correct?
Yes.
Okay. You may state your name for the record and proceed.
Mike Ressler, Mayor of Blooming Prairie, thank you very much for your time. Being so new to the position, I really don't have much more to add than what Brett has already told you. So I, again, just appreciate your time and your backing me for this project. So thank you very much.
You're welcome. Well, you got your few seconds of fame here speaking in front of our capitals. All right. Member questions. Representative Chair Lee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And maybe to the city engineer real quickly. Traditionally, you know, we can't really use bonding dollars for remediation. So have you guys checked with MMB to make sure that this is an eligible use so that if we should appropriate money that you can actually use the money? Thank you.
Mr. Grabo.
I have not had the direct communication with them. We do know that we have looked into the EPA. We've looked into the MPCA. There simply is no funding relief through those organizations, through those regulatory agencies for CVOC contamination, and that's why we're here today.
Okay. You're good. Representative Carroll.
Thank you, Chair. This contamination has been around for a while, right?
Mr. Grabo? Way to have your listening ears on. Thank you.
Correct. We know the MPCA has known about this contamination since at least 1989.
Okay.
Representative Chair. Carroll?
Have you done anything to pursue the polluters?
Mr. Grabo.
The the known polluters within the corridor, one of them is a previous tenant of a chemical plant that no longer owns it. The current owner purchased that a couple years ago with a hold harmless. We have not had direct communication with the parent company of the previous owner of that chemical plant, no.
Representative Carroll.
Real quickly, do you plan on doing that?
Mr. Greville?
We have no problem reaching out to them and talking to them. I think that we're concerned about getting into a legal battle with a large chemical company with the city of Blooming Prairie, yes.
Representative Carroll, so if you have some good ideas for him, you can take them offline if that's okay.
Okay, I'll follow
in the interest of time.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Representative Carroll is very good on these issues. All right, Mr. Grabow, did you have anything else to add?
No, just on behalf of the city of Blooming Prairie, thank you for consideration.
Thank you. Representative Mueller, final thoughts?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, committee, for considering this project. I will say that we did have this project partially included in the last bonding bill, but at $1.5 million the original thing. And so I'd really, you know, this is core infrastructure, so it's really important that we're able to get this done this year. So, and any ideas we have from Representative Carroll would be great as well. So thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Mueller. All right, Chair Lee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just real quickly, members, I want to invite and introduce some students from my district, so Junior Truth Academy. If you guys could just stand up and wave real quickly. Be joining us today at the Capitol, so thank you, Madam Chair, for the time to acknowledge them. Appreciate
You're welcome.
It.
Welcome to the Capitol, and welcome to the funnest committee here. Trust me. Okay, we have Representative Bennett with a beautiful bill in front of us. House File 2535 for Waldorf. So if you'd like to state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Peggy Bennett, and I represent the city of Waldorf, awesome city. I just wanted to make one note before I pass it on to the mayor that the amount for this bill has increased, actually, because of inflation. So the total amount, which I've already given to staff, is $7,548,000, and the city's asking for half of that. That would be $3,774,000. And there's a recent emergency that has kind of upped the need, correct, Mayor? So I'm going to pass
correct.
It on to Mayor Wilkening if I could. Thank you.
Okay. First off, so the bill itself says $2,800,000?
Correct. And so,
was that last year's bill that?
Madam Chair, I won't throw the other body under the bus, but this bill came from them, so.
Oh, okay. Say no more. Say no more. All right. So the correct number is $3,074,000. Is that what I heard?
$3,774,000.
Yes. Okay. Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
And you may proceed, sir. I believe you are.
Good morning, Chairman Franson and members of the committee. Thank you for the opportunity for me to testify today. Oh, I am.
Okay.
To testify on behalf of the city of Waldorf, my name is Rob Wilkening, and I am the mayor of Waldorf, Minnesota, a small town, growing community located just 20 minutes southeast of Mankato. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you today and about our urgent infrastructure needs and the critical funding request of $2.8 million, that was before the recent changes here, to complete the Phase 2 project. Over the last or past several years, Waldorf has been very proactive investing in aging infrastructure. We have already invested $15 million to replace portions of our city's clean and drinking water systems, with $3 million coming directly out of our residents. However, our work is far from over. Last year, we discovered an insufficient utility installation, but this past March, just last weekend actually, the situation became an emergency. A powerful rainstorm coupled with power outage completely overwhelmed our undersized sanitary sewer system, basements of homes, businesses flooded, and our system was pushed to its limit. In a desperate effort to prevent further damage, we were forced to pump sewage into the local ditch as required by Minnesota Pollution Control Agency notification. As a result, we received a violation notice and a strict 180-day deadline to complete the necessary repairs or face fines of $250 per day. Waldorf is doing everything it can to address these challenges, but we are out of funds. Our median household income is just $45,179, and 53% of our residents fall into low to moderate income brackets. We have only a 9% tax capacity, making it incredibly difficult to fund these projects without state assistance. Despite these financial constraints, our residents are having to invest heavily in our infrastructure, and we are not asking for a handout. We're just simply asking for a partnership. The 2.8, or it's increased now, million we are requesting will allow us to leverage federal and city funding to complete the Phase 2 project, including the necessary sanitary sewer upgrades. Without your support, homes and businesses will continue to experience backups, putting public health and safety at risk. We face ongoing environmental violations, increasing the likelihood of fines and further regulatory action. Our community is growing, and stability will be threatened. Desperate, despite of our proximity to Mankato, expanding economic opportunities, and we are growing at a rate of 18% right now. This project is not just about fixing pipes. It is about protecting the health, safety, and the future of our people called Waldorf Home. We understand that the state funds are limited, but we simply need to add the sanitary sewer line upgrade as part of the Phase 2 project. We are already working with Bowling Engineering to ensure this project can be done correctly, efficiently, and compliance with the MPCA requirements. I stand before you today not just as a mayor, but also a representative of the community in a crisis. I declared last weekend a state of emergency for our city. We have done our part. We have invested in our future, identifying solutions and committing local dollars. But we can't do this alone. We need to do this together. I am respectfully requesting your support to ensure this completion of this critical infrastructure project. With your help, we can prevent future disasters, protect our residents, build a stronger and more resilient Waldorf for generations to come. And I really want to thank you for your time and consideration for this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. All right, members, do we have any questions? All right, Representative Bennett, final thoughts.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Committee, and there is a handout for you. It should be in your packets. Thanks much.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor, for coming down to advocate for your city. We appreciate it. Next up, we have Representative Gilman for House File 234 for Hutchinson. And then we're going to have Representative Zalesnikar, and then followed by Representative Rapinski. So please make your way behind the testifying table and get yourself ready. Representative Gilman, please state your name for the record. You may proceed, and you have testifiers online.
Correct. Thank you, Chair Franzen and Chair Lee. My name is Don Gilman. Happy to be here today to testify on House File 234. This is a joint facility, a regional facility, including MnDOT, our city, and our county. It houses over 50 staff from maintenance, workers, mechanics, engineers, and administration. So the mechanics are responsible for over 300 pieces of equipment. And, the counties that are impacted by this facility include all of McLeod County, parts of Meeker County, Sibley County, Renville County, and Redwood County. So I'll turn it over to my testifiers.
Wonderful. You may state your name for the record and proceed. Welcome to the Capital Investment Committee.
Good morning, Chair and Committee members. I am Andrew Engold, McLeod County Engineer. I'm joined here today with Public Works Director from the City of Hutchinson, Mike Stifter, on behalf of the Hutchinson Area Transportation Services, or HATS, Joint Powers Board. In the late 80s and early 90s, MnDOT, McLeod County, and the City of Hutchinson were all wrestling with maintenance facility needs. Through many years of planning, collaboration, and coordination, a tri-agency joint powers agreement creating HATS was developed. And in 1995, construction began, and in January of 1996, the facility became fully operational. We are currently facing the operational need of adding more mechanic space due to the increased complexity of equipment, technology, and parts availability. With the advent of complex computerized systems on equipment, diagnostics and repair of equipment has become more time-consuming. That, coupled with the fact that parts suppliers are stocking less and less parts, means equipment may sit in the mechanics area with mechanics working on multiple pieces of equipment at one time. Many times equipment is being worked on in alleyways and storage bays due to full mechanics bays, which has created safety concerns and interferes with operations from all entities. In addition to our mechanic space need, our fuel system is reaching the end of its useful life. Every year, 300 to 350,000 gallons of fuel are dispensed at the facility to not only the three agency partners, but also local fire, police, state patrol, and county sheriff's vehicles. The fuel system is not only a huge convenience and time saver for staff, but allows for us to contract bulk fuel deliveries, resulting in large cost savings, one of the largest line items in everyone's budget. Originally estimated to have a 20-year useful life, we are now approaching year 30. We have experienced several breakdowns in the fuel system over the past few years, which have led to the fuel system being out of commission for several weeks on end. This $6.4 million capital request is to construct a new 90 by 200 foot warm storage building in order to convert some of the existing space into mechanic space. This is the most cost-effective way for us to add mechanic space, as storage is more economical to construct than mechanic space, and our existing storage space meets building codes for mechanic space. The new fuel system will be constructed adjacent to the new building with above-ground storage tanks, bulk def, an EV charging station, and provisions to add compressed natural gas fuel sources in the future. The relocation would allow for better continuity of operations as well as enhances the safety of the site. We are currently in the preliminary design phases and will be requesting proposals for design, final design later this spring, with construction planned in late 2026 and completion by early 2028. On behalf of the HATS Joint Powers Board, I'd like to thank the chair and the committee members for their time. Mike and I are happy to answer questions.
Thank you, Mr. Engel. Members, questions? Chair Lee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This question is to Mr. Engel. So on the handout that you have for us, indicated $3.2 million in trunk highway bonds from MnDOT. And so has their $3.2 million been secure, or is this something that you're going to ask MnDOT for, too? Thanks.
Mr. Engel.
Thank you, Chair. We have requested, actually MnDOT has requested, the $3.2 million in trunk highway bonds, and we're still working through that as part of the complexity of this project.
Okay, seeing no further questions, Representative Gilman, final thoughts.
Thank you so much for hearing this important bill.
Well, thank you. I love those closing thoughts, short and sweet and to the point. Thank you. And thank you for testifying today and advocating for your city. Appreciate that. All right, next up we have Representative Zalesnikar. And she has House File 584 for Proctor. You may state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Chair Franson. And I am Representative Natalie Zalesnikar. I represent District 3B, the best part of the state, northern Minnesota. And today, the bonding request is for Proctor Community. And members, this exact bill was part of the bonding request for last session. And so I come back to you this session because the needs haven't changed. They've only increased. We are positioned a community right out of Duluth, right off of the highway. And it's a perfect opportunity for housing and to support. We have two mecca hospitals right now that have been built, a huge investment as a regional hospital system, as well as Cirrus and many other local manufacturers and job opportunities, and we need housing. And so, members, this $3.5 million is for the water sewer infrastructure to allow Proctor to serve the community. I'm going to allow the testifier, who drove here from Two Harbors, to proceed.
Thank you for being here. You may state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you. My name is Jess Rich.
Do you have testimony, Ms. Rich?
I do, yeah.
Okay, you may continue.
Thank you. Good morning, Chair Franzen, members of the committee. On behalf of the City of Proctor, the residents of Proctor, I thank you for time to testify today. Again, my name is Jess Rich, and I serve as a city administrator for Proctor. I'd like to tell you about House File 584 and the Proctor I-35 Utility Expansion and Upgrade Project. In a nutshell, the project is rehabbing and extending water and sewer to currently quite a big acreage for the region, 150 acres, just outside of, in Proctor City limits, but across I-35. I could talk to you about the nuts of the bolts in the project, city sewer pipes, I&I, you've heard it. I could talk about corroded water mains. I could even detail how crossing I-35 is a very expensive and challenging endeavor for us. All of this is in the handout before you, but instead let me talk to you about the vital role that Proctor and House File 584 can play in northeastern Minnesota's economy. Most of you, along with literally millions of other people, have visited Proctor each year. You've traveled right through our town. Think of the last time that you came up to Duluth or the North Shore, and as you crested that I-35 going north, and you turned a slight corner, crested the hill, and the beautiful Lake Superior and the St. Louis Bay scenery unfolded in front of your windshield. That is Proctor. That's the area that I'm talking about right now. Proctor is uniquely positioned as the I-35 gateway to Duluth and the North Shore, a region that is central and that Proctor is a part of to Minnesota's tourism, recreation, healthcare, and shipping economies. Very important role in Minnesota. It's situated on the hill of the Lake Superior Basin and overlooks the St. Louis River Bay as well. It's a very desirable place to call home, to start a business, maybe both. So this 150-acre parcel is also on the backside of the Spirit Mountain Recreation Area. This project is not just about Proctor. It's about strengthening the region's economic landscape, supporting the workforce housing, as Representative just stated, and it's about ensuring our communities are equipped with growth. Funding this request is essential into making necessary infrastructure improvements and to support new development and regional growth.
Wonderful, thank you. Members, do we have any questions? No? All right. Representative Zaleskar, final thoughts?
Thank you, Chair Franson and members. I thank City Administrator Jess for traveling to St. Paul to share this great project. It's a fantastic opportunity for us to add infrastructure in a community that's growing and can serve a huge region. So thank you for listening to our Proctor request.
Wonderful. Thank you for being here today. Fun fact, I learned how to ski at Spirit Mountain. So, and I learned how to fall down, too. All right. Next up, we have Representative Rapinski, followed by Representative Mekland, and then we're doing Representative Schumacher. Representative Rapinski, please state your name for the record, and you may proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair Franson. My name is Aaron Rapinski. Good morning. I represent District 26A. We're asking for $36 million to build a regional training and public safety center in Winona. I'm going to turn it over at this time to my testifier, Winona City Manager Chad Ubel.
All right, you may state your name for the record and proceed.
Chad Ubel, City Manager, City of Winona. Chair Franson and committee members, thank you for your time today. As Representative Rapinski mentioned, the City of Winona is requesting funding for a regional public safety facility that would house the Winona Police Department and Winona County Sheriff, along with other public safety agencies. The focus of the facility, aside from operational components of evidence handling upgrades, security upgrades to the public, ADA accessibility, and appropriate apparatus updates, this emphasis of this facility is on training. Winona is a regional center in southeast Minnesota. We're situated along the Mississippi River. We're flanked by the Bluffs. We have two rail systems that bifurcate the city of Winona, an interstate bridge that connects us to Wisconsin, an active port, and Interstate 90 to our south. I mention these unique characteristics because they all coincide with the very unique training needs that the City of Winona and Winona County has aside from the state mandated trainings. The City of Winona and Winona County, much like other jurisdictions, are first responders to emergency situations. We're in desperate need of an updated facility to assist us in trainings like rail derailments, high water events, situations with our barges in the port, homeland security, high angle rescue, and recently we assisted the State Patrol with a large drug bust on Interstate 90. I mention these again because these all take time and effort in our training situations to make sure that our responders and the public are kept safe in these situations. The other unique factor of being a regional center in southeast Minnesota is we often need to rely on surrounding counties, Fillmore, Houston, Wabasha, et cetera, to assist in these emergency situations. We, in turn, being the largest jurisdiction in southeast Minnesota, aside from Rochester, assist many of these smaller communities with their emergency needs. Training together and having these facilities are key for us in Southeast Minnesota. We currently operate out of two facilities. One was built in 1977 and one was built in 1955. I'm just going to repeat that again. We operate out of a facility that's 48 years old and another facility that's 70 years old. The collaboration between the county and city is not unique across the state, but it would be in our county. Collaboration leads to effective and efficient governance, and ultimately combining resources leads to lower taxes locally, especially with state assistance. Further, the state awarded us $7.5 million to pre-design this facility that I'm speaking of. This request before you today is to assist us in the construction of that facility. Again, on behalf of the City of Winona, Winona County, we appreciate your consideration of this request.
All right, thank you. And if anybody here is 48 years like I am, I consider myself still young. Although in pipe age, not so young. Representative Rapinski, did you have something to add? No? Okay.
No, thank you, ma'am. Thank you, Chair Franzen.
Representative Carroll.
Thank you, Chair. Just quickly, is the total project cost $36.5?
Representative Rapinski.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for your question. I'll defer that to our city manager, Chair.
All right, Mr. Is it Ubel?
That's correct. Yes, the total project cost is $36.5 million.
All right. Representative Carroll.
Are you able to get any participation from the county or the city?
From Mr. Ubel.
Yes, both the City Council and Winona County Board have approved the pre-design of this facility. And in the City of Winona's request to the state, we said that the City of Winona is willing to put some match dollars to this project.
Representative Carroll.
Is that an unspecified sum?
Mr. Ubel.
At this time, it is an unspecified sum.
Okay. Any further questions? Okay, Representative Rapinski.
Thank you, Chair Franzen and committee members. I know it's a really big ask, but this area is in a significant need of a public safety training center. Thank you for your consideration on this project.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Representative Rapinski. And thank you for testifying today, Mr. Ubel. We appreciate that. Okay. Next up, Representative Meckland. You have House File 524 for Becker Township.
Are you ready?
Yes, Representative Mecklen, well, we are ready. Please state your name for the record and proceed. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
I told you guys we have a fun committee.
The funnest committee ever. Oh. Well, let's talk about the funnest bonding bill. My name is Shane Becklin. I represent District 27A, which is Western Sherburne County. I have with me today Brad Schumacher, who's a county commissioner, as well as David Rodell, who's with the Engineering Department of Sherburne County. This is about an intersection that is much needed, which I have to go through every time I come here or go back. Come either way.
Okay.
And we're going to start with County Commissioner Brad Schumacher.
All right. Mr. Schumacher, you may state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Chair Franzen. Thank you, Chair Lee and committee members. Thank you, Representative Meckland, for authoring this bill. My name is Brad Schumacher, and I currently serve as Sherburne County Commissioner in District 5. Also with me is Mr. David Rodell, the Sherburne County Deputy County Engineer, to assist with technical questions. I'm here today to support House File 524 for design, environmental documentation, and property acquisition funding to complete the interchange at State Aid Highway 11 and Trunk Highway 10 in Becker. Known as the Trunk Highway 10 and County Road 11 Railroad Crossing Improvement Project, this bonding request will develop plans for grade separation of County Road 11 over the BNSF Railroad and Highway 10, eliminating the problematic and dangerous at-grade crossing along the Burlington Northern Santa Fe Railroad. This is a critical transportation project designed to improve the safety and quality of life for all in the region and central Minnesota, one which agencies have already spent $1.6 million over the past 7 years studying. This is not just a local intersection project. This is about moving freight through the state of Minnesota. from the metro to central and western Minnesota and beyond. It is also about improving connectivity between two major highways within the state, Trunk Highway 10 and Interstate I-94. In fact, we know that over 50% of all the freight traffic between the metro and St. Cloud use this intersection. And if you use a driving app for directions, as I do, it will send you on County Road 11 to make the connection between Highway 10 and I-94, not on State Highway 25. This means regional traffic volumes and patterns are ending up on the county highway and a smaller at-grade rail crossing and highway interchange not designed for and clearly insufficient for the region's needs of today and tomorrow. Upwards of 90 high-speed trains a day on this dual track during the peak season, though railroad crossing arms are closed for almost 3 hours every day, blocking truck freight and vehicles. Queues in the existing signal rail crossing are frequently over 1 mile long, causing significant delays and causing freight haulers significant time and expense. Along with the significant congestion, we are equally concerned for the railway safety. Highway 10 and County Road 11 exchange currently experiences a crash rate of 1.29%, over double what is expected for the intersection of this type. It is also one of the highest risk rankings in the entire state. In closing, this project is supported by MnDOT and represented in multiple letters of support for the Commissioner of Transportation, as well as local communities and business entities. Thank you for your consideration of House File 524 in order to help secure $5 million in design and property acquisition funds for the new interchange over the Northern Rail, over the railroad and Highway 10. Such a support is testament to the legislators' continued commitment and safety for commerce, recreation, and overall well-being of all Minnesotans. Thank you.
Thank you. Right.
Just David Rodell, I'm the Deputy County Engineer at Sherman County. I just have, if anybody has any technical questions for me, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you for that. Hopefully there's not. let's see here. Member questions? No? Okay, seeing none, we escape that. Representative Mecklen, final thoughts.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Quick thought. All you know, Representative Botney, he will tell you as his tenure as a deputy sheriff, he cleaned up this intersection way more than he wanted to. So thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Thank you for being here and advocating. And Mr. Rodell, it was nice to see you again.
Good to see you.
He's been to Alexandria, the city that is easy to get to and hard to leave. All right, Representative Schumacher, he's got three bills up today, and we know how much Representative Schumacher loves to talk, so this is so exciting.
More exciting for me, Madam Chair, than you, I'm sure.
I'm sure. So right now we are going to go to House Files 864, Representative Schumacher, and you have a testifier online. You may state your name for the record, Chair Schumacher, and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Joe Schumacher, and this is the Mountain Lake Public Infrastructure Bill, and I'll turn it over to my testifier.
Please state your name for the record, and you may proceed. Are they on? Are you muted? I think they're muted. Can you unmute yourself? No, they're not on? All right. Well, we're going to skip House Files 864 for the time being, and we're going to move right on to 874.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is the Lake Benton Public Infrastructure Program, and I would turn it over to my testifiers.
Okay. We have testifiers, hopefully, on Zoom. So you may state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair Franzen and members of the Capital Investment Committee. My name is Pat Ames. I'm the mayor of Lake Benton. I'm here to speak about support of House File 874. Lake Benton is a small community of about 698 people in southwest Minnesota. We are requesting $863,000 as a part of our water and sewer project that will cost a total of $1,726,100. In 2027, MnDOT will be completing a major road improvement on Project Highway 75 going through our community. This road improvement project will enhance transportation through our community for vehicle, bike, and pedestrian traffic. And beneath this highway, our city is facing infrastructure that is over 60 years old and in need of replacement. Our sewer lines are in very poor condition. Some cases, areas are so brittle, they collapse or sections fail, causing sewer backups into the mains and, in severe cases, into homes and businesses. The water line system is also in poor condition and exhibits severe pitting, heavy iron buildup as well. While these improvements are in high priority to us, our community has many other aging lines in need of replacement and repairs as well. Our community acknowledges that while the road improvements are occurring, it would be cost effective to also replace the sewer and water lines below the road at the same time. It would also be less disruptive to traffic, residents, and local businesses if these improvements were done at the same time. In addition to improvements on Highway 75, road improvements will also be made on Highway 14, resulting in nearly all traffic on our two major highways to be rerouted away from the city during the work period in 2027. Our small businesses will already struggle with planned detours, so it's essential for our businesses that we conduct these improvements together to minimize disruption. Our community must ensure that we have the funds secured for the water and sewer project when MnDOT is ready to proceed in 2027, or we miss the opportunity to coordinate the efforts. Our city has submitted information to ensure we are on project priority lists, but timing is a critical factor for our project and the reason we are requesting these bond proceeds. We're very appreciative of the investment that will be made by the state and MnDOT staff to improve Highway 75 as a major transportation corridor through our community. It will provide enhanced safety for our vehicle, bike, pedestrian traffic on that corridor. We appreciate your consideration for a request for bond proceeds that will allow our community to complete the necessary sewer and water improvements at the same time. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you for your testimony. All right. Any member questions for Representative Schumacher or his testifier? Okay. Seeing none, Representative Schumacher, final thoughts on that bill, House File 874?
Water infrastructure is important.
That it is. It's very important. Okay. Next, we're going to go to House File 1155, Representative Schumacher for Ruffin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is for the city of Ruthin.
Ruthin.
And we have a testifier with us today.
Okay, and I'm going to have you pronounce your name for the record, sir, so I don't ruin it. And thank you for being here. You may go. You may proceed.
Darwin Sietsema.
Okay, you may go ahead with your testimony, sir.
Chairman Franzen and Chairman and members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to speak before you today. I am here on behalf of the city of Ruthin to advocate for critical infrastructure funding that will ensure the health, safety, and well-being of our residents. Ruthin is a small but proud community of 226 people located in Pipestone County, 27 miles southwest of Marshall. Like many rural towns, we face aging infrastructure that has exceeded its useful life. Today, I urge you to support our request for $3.9 million in Minnesota legislative bonding to help replace and upgrade our failing water and sanitary sewer systems. Our need is urgent. The Ruthin Water Tower, built in 1937, has been extensively reviewed, and the findings are concerning. The structure requires numerous costly repairs, but rehabilitation is simply not feasible. A new water tower is essential to maintaining safe and reliable water service for our residents. Additionally, our water treatment facility has reached the end of its service life. The facility is crucial for removing iron and manganese from our raw well water, ensuring our residents have access to clean, safe drinking water. Without a new facility, our community faces increasing risks to both public health and overall quality of life. The deficiencies in our water distribution system further compounds the problem. Service lines are clogged with debris, our system lacks necessary water main looping, and we do not have auxiliary valves on hydrants. The Minnesota Department of Health has recommended these improvements, and failure to act now could lead to system failures and unsafe water conditions. Our sanitary sewer system also requires immediate attention, as several segments have developed cracks and leaks. These must be addressed through CIPP lining to help prevent further deterioration and preserve the longevity of our infrastructure. Ruthin has already invested in planning for these improvements. The city has spent $45,000, and Pipestone County has contributed an additional $30,000 to develop this project. We are committed to securing additional funding, including federal and city resources, but state assistance is critical in ensuring this project moves forward. With 55% of our residents classified as low to moderate income and median household income of just $45,000, the financial burden of these necessary upgrades is too great for our community to shoulder alone. Your support will help us provide safe, clean water and reliable infrastructure for our residents and future generations. The time to act is now. The City of Ruthin respectfully requests your support in securing $3.9 million in Minnesota legislative bonding to leverage additional funding and bring these essential projects to completion. Investing in Ruthin means investing in the health, safety, and sustainability of rural Minnesota. Thank you for your time and consideration. I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Sitsima. Perfect. All right. Member questions. We have Representative Scraba. We're running behind schedule, members. We got to make up time somehow.
Thank you, Chair. Quickly, you're replacing meters with new remote meters. Are they e-meters? They drive by and read it?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, sounds good. All right, Representative Schumacher, final thoughts.
Water infrastructure is important, Madam Chair.
Yes, it is. Thank you. You are one of my favorite members today to say that. Thank you.
It should be every day, Madam Chair.
That is true, and you know you are. Okay, we're going to go back. We're going to circle back now to House File 864, and you've already spoke on that one. That is for your Mountain Lake.
Yes, Madam Chair.
And so we have your testifier is available now. Please state your name for the record, and you may proceed.
My name is Michael Mueller, for the record.
And you may proceed with your testimony.
I'm the city administrator for the city of Mountain Lake. I'm requesting your support for the funding needed for our expansion of Lakeview Estates. It's a vital housing subdivision that plays a significant role in the growth and future of our community. Lakeview Estates is basically becoming a thriving and welcoming neighborhood within Mountain Lake. Our residents are proud of the vibrant community we built, but we need an urgent need to expand our subdivision of Lakeview Estates. We're seeing a strong demand for basically housing in our community, and we want to be thoughtful and sustainable in that way. In 2022, our city completed a comprehensive study that confirmed a critical need for additional housing. According to the study, there's a demand of about 54 new housing units within Mount Lake to meet the needs of our community. That finding is not just an indicator of growth, but us responding to providing safe, affordable, and diverse housing options for our residents. So I'm asking the Capital Investment Committee to support the expansion of Lakeview Estates by assisting the funding of our second edition of that subdivision. With your help, we can provide a range of housing options for families, young professionals, and retirees, all while enhancing our community's livability. We're looking basically to have additional roads, sidewalks, water and sewer systems, and other essential utilities, ensuring that we continue that development in Lakeview Estates, being able to create new jobs, both in construction and afterward, as businesses and services grow to support that new residence. We had a new contract in Mountain Lake that was able to provide 10 additional jobs, and the first thing that they said was we didn't have any housing for these 10 additional jobs that they were able to have, so we wanted to respond to that as well. It's difficult for businesses to grow without housing. I understand that the decisions made by the Capital Investment Committee require careful consideration of that long-term impacts on the state, but I'm confident that investing in the second edition for Lakeview Estates will yield substantial returns for Mountain Lake, both in terms of economic growth and community well-being. Additional housing will provide families with the opportunity to live, work, and contribute to the city, making Mountain Lake a more vibrant and attractive place to call home. Does anyone have any questions for me? I know you guys are short of time, and I'm a little late to the meeting.
Oh, trust me, my members never disappoint. Representative Sexton.
What was the total cost of the project?
We're estimating $4 million.
Mr. Mailer?
Requesting $2
million. Representative Sexton?
Can it be phased?
Mr. Mueller?
Yes. Right now, the phase, what we're purchasing is a second, and there's a third phase right now. Second phase is 12 new homes that could be used for single-family townhomes or potentially multifamily housing to create a diversity. But right now it's 12, and then the third phase would be 20 additional units.
Thank you.
All right. Seeing no further questions, Representative Schumacher, Chair Schumacher, why don't you enlighten us with your closing thoughts?
Thank you very much. Enjoy your time back.
No more about water?
You know, since you brought it up, water infrastructure is vitally important to us.
Thank you. Music to my ears. Thank you. Okay, next up, we are going to have Representative Allen, followed by Vice Chair Fogelman, Representative Scraba, which he should go at the end, but he won't, and Representative Myers. Okay. So, Representative Allen, welcome to the committee. You may state your name for the record and proceed.
My name is Representative Keith Allen, and thank you, Madam Chair and Co-Chair Lee. It's a pleasure to be in the hot seat here in Capital Investment and the Capital Investment Committee. The Faribault or the River Bend Nature Center is a partnership with the City of Faribault. River Bend is the only regional center of its kind, drawing visitors and students from across southern Minnesota. My bill is for the initial funding and design of the new educational center to meet the demands of today. I'll turn it over to my testifier, Brad Bourne, Executive Director, for more details.
Mr. Bourne, please state your name for the record, and you may proceed.
Thank you. My name is Brad Bourne. I'm the Executive Director of Riverbend Nature Center.
All right. Do you have testimony?
Yes. Okay. Good morning, Chairs Franson and Lee and members of the committee, and thank you for the opportunity to testify today. My name is Brad Bourne. I'm the Executive Director of Riverbend Nature Center in Faribault. Riverbend Nature Center is a partnership between the City of Faribault and the 501c3 at Riverbend Nature Center. Together, we operate one of the most significant nature preserves in southern Minnesota that was once the home of the Faribault Regional Center. From the time of the Regional Center's closing, the nonprofit converted the former agricultural land into 10 miles of trails and an 823-acre nature preserve that hosts approximately 100,000 visits each year from across the region, and our environmental education programs serve around 5,000 environmental learners each year from school districts from the Faribault region all the way about 90 minutes in every direction, as far north as the Twin Cities and as far south as Iowa. But today, our ability to meet the growing demand for environmental education is outdated and failing facilities. We're seeking an investment of $500,000 to help us design a 15,000 square foot expansion to create a world-class environmental learning center for the region. This expansion will allow us to serve more students, particularly from those from a growing diverse rural Minnesota and low-income backgrounds, and honor the deep history of the land, which was once the Faribault Regional Center. As Minnesota becomes more diverse, so must our spaces that introduce children to nature. Faribault is rapidly becoming a growing global community, and many of our residents are closer to the metro is coming closer to Faribault every day. This investment will ensure that every child, regardless of their background and their zip code and their place of origin, has the pathways to build lifelong, meaningful connections to nature and can receive training in pursuing careers in environmental resources and conservation, so our conservation workforce can grow to reflect the diversity of Minnesota. Thank you, representatives, for your time today. Riverbend sought your, the state of Minnesota helped establish Riverbend 45 years ago, and we're back today for this important time. Thank you so much.
Mr. Bourne, Chair Lee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Director, can you tell us, so in your handout, it mentions $500,000 for design, but in the bill, it talks about design, construction, furnishing, equipment. So what is the total project cost? And, you know, are you going to be able to cover the rest outside of the $500,000, or is there more expectation from the state in the future years?
Mr. Bourne.
Thank you, Chair Franson, Chair Lee. We are, this initial investment will help us primarily with pre-design work. We have a coalition of funders that are already at the table with about $1.2 million. Between private philanthropic dollars, Riverbend Nature Center, and the city of Faribault. Part of our pre-design work will be to scope the size of the construction. We've looked at other models like the trailhead in your district, Chair Lee. Those buildings like this seem to come in between 6 and 12 million, but we are putting together a coalition of funders, and I think we'll be able to meet those matches.
Wonderful. We'd like to hear that. Thank you, Mr. Bourne. Any other member questions? Okay, seeing none, Representative Allen, final thoughts?
Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Riverbend's project in the city of Faribault. The town in the south that's easy to get to, but so very difficult to leave. Thank you, members.
You're welcome. Thank you for making your way down to the Capitol today, Mr. Bourne. We appreciate that.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay, so Vice Chair Fogelman. You've got two bills up, House File 884 and 2344. And they are all online, your testifiers, I believe. You may state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Chair Franzen and committee members. My name is Marge Fogelman. I represent District 21B. Today I have HF 884 for the City of Alpha for infrastructure improvements. And with that, I will turn it over to my online testifier.
You may state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Timothy Kane. I'm the mayor for the City of Alpha. And the City of Alpha is seeking financial assistance with wastewater treatment and storm sewer system improvements, as the current system is currently failing and causing public health and safety risks. Specialized in localized flooding and mainline and septic tank failures continue to cause significant challenges for the community. There is a handout, I believe everyone has. We have some pictures there of some manhole covers and also septic tanks. And we have septic tanks that are caving in on people's yards.
Ooh.
And manhole covers are in very tough shape also. The total project was $14.7 million, and we have funding requests for $6.744 million. We have loans through the USDA Rural Development and also US EPA for the rest. I'll turn over some information here to our city clerk, Kelly.
All right, please state your name for the record and you may proceed.
Hi, my name is Kelly Socek, the city clerk of Alpha. Just some additional data that's maybe not in that handout. So we have a population of 97, which is about 56 households and 10 businesses. Most people in our town are over the age of 50. Many are on a fixed income. Our census data does say our average income is $135,000, but we are contesting that due to some errors that we found with the U.S. Census as to some rich farmers in our area that don't actually live in Alpha, so they're not helpful to us. In 2010, our average income was $41,000, which is more accurate. And just a couple things, we are operating on a tax levy of less than $75,000, which is already putting our residents at a tax rate of 220%, which is the highest in Jackson County. And we have recently doubled their sewer rates in January from $22 a month to $42 a month, just in anticipation of this project or repairs that need to happen. We do not feel we're able to phase this project due to the health and safety risks. And as you can see from those pictures, it's getting worse each day. So we do thank you for your time and your consideration.
Thank you for your testimony today. Members, any questions? Okay, seeing none, Representative Fogelman, final thoughts.
Thank you, Chair Franzen and committee members. On behalf of the City of Alpha, thank you.
All right. Moving on, House File 2. Thank you for testifying today, City of Alpha. We appreciate your time. House File 2344.
Yes, thank you again. This is HF 2344 for the City of Trimont for public infrastructure improvements, and I will turn that over to my testifiers.
All right, you may state your name for the record and proceed.
My name is Kevin Teal. I'm the mayor of Trimont, Minnesota, and I'm here to thank you, Madam Chairs, and the committee for hearing our immediate needs. We are a small community of 705 people, according to the 2020 census. We have 303 households, 32 businesses, and a total of 335 connected households. We have 389 parcels that are taxable in our state. We have in our handout, hopefully you got it, and I'll just state some of the priorities. Currently state of our infrastructure has seven possible phases, the most important one being ponds. And the wastewater infrastructure, Trimont, has deteriorated over the years and is now in need of dire repair. Our last repairs were about 2005. The total seven project items come up to a total of $62 million. And our first phase for the water or wastewater pond system would be $20 to $22 million. We do have a PER review in the USDA from September 23 that we haven't heard back on, and we had an updated one in May of 2024, and that's still pending too. So we are searching for funds, of course. Our community also is involved in a $64 million school bond that went through. So our need is going to be very dire, very great, and very urgent. On the list from the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, normally you like to be in the top one or two or three, but in this case, we are number two in need, according to that document. However, that doesn't make us really happy. We just have a dire need. So thank you, Madam Chair and committee, for allowing us to give our presentation.
Thank you, Mayor Keel. Members, do we have questions? No? All right. Representative Fogelman for final thoughts.
Thank you again, Madam Chair, committee members. And on behalf of the City of Trimont, thank you for hearing this bill.
All right. Thank you for your testimony there, Mayor. We appreciate your time today at the Capital Investment Committee. All right, Representative Scraba, House File 2365. I can't wait to hear what you have to say.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, water. Water, that's what we're going to talk about. First one is water. it's for the City of International Falls. I'll let the testifiers talk about what the issue is.
All right, we'll save your talking for another day. All right, you may state your name for the record and proceed.
Hello, my name is Sean Kelly, and I'm the lead water operator for the City of International Falls. I want to express my sincere gratitude to Chair Franzen and Co-Chair Lee and the House Capital Investment Committee for taking the time to hear File 2365. Your attention to this matter is deeply appreciated. and this directly impacts the health, safety, and sustainability of our community's water supply. The International Falls Treatment Facility has long served as a cornerstone of our community, ensuring clean, reliable drinking water for thousands of residents. However, the facility now faces critical challenges that require immediate attention and action to safeguard the well-being of our citizens and the resilience of our water system. The Minnesota Department of Health has evaluated the treatment plant and identified components that no longer meet modern standards, including outdated filters which lack proper filtering techniques to prevent breakthrough of pathogens and proper chemical storage and failing controls. These deficiencies not only compromise water but quality, but also expose our system to risks that could jeopardize public health. Addressing these regulatory requirements alone comes with an estimated cost of $2 million. Beyond these regulatory needs, the facility itself is showing its age. Leaking roofs, corrosion of steel tanks and structures, outdated equipment like pumps, valves, and steel filters, many of which are 35 years old, have passed their useful life. Building restorations such roofing, upgraded plumbing, protective coatings, security, and cost to another $2 million. When combined with the equipment upgrades, electrical improvements, chemical feed systems updates, the overall estimate rises significantly. But this is more about fixing aging infrastructure. It's about safeguarding our future. Just a few years ago, during the 2022 FEMA declared flood emergency, we witnessed firsthand the vulnerabilities of this facility. Rising river levels nearly caused catastrophic flooding inside the plant through piping that connects the Rain River to two tanks, the raw water pump station and the backwash reclaim system. Without valves to block water flow, the plant nearly avoided disaster. Had the river risen another 12 inches, flooding would have forced the facility service for weeks. To mitigate immediate risk, the city installed concrete curbs, providing a buffer. However, this solution is insufficient for long-term protection. To fully safeguard the facility and ensure uninterrupted access to safe drinking water, the city proposes adding two critical valves, one on the raw water influent line and another on the reclaim line. This will allow isolation of the plant from the river during extreme conditions, addressing vulnerabilities exposed in 2022. The total estimated cost for these crucial updates is $12 million, an investment that will ensure compliance with health and safety regulations, improve efficiency, and secure the reliability of water for years to come. For our 3,000 customers, this translates to an average increase of about 20 per month, which will increase our average monthly water cost to over 80 per household. We are asking for support to keep our water affordable for our users. Now is the time to act by addressing those needs. We're not preserving the integrity of the vital service, but also strengthening the foundation of our community. Let's work together to support this investment in our health, safety, and prosperity. Thank you.
And thank you. All right, we do have a testifier online. We have Mayor Dill.
Yes.
Mayor Dill, please state your name for the record, and you may proceed.
Drake Dill, Mayor of International Falls. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Good morning. I'm Drake Dill. I serve as the mayor of International Falls. On behalf of the International Falls City Council and our citizens, I'd like to thank Chair Franson, Co-Chair Lee, and the members of this committee for the hearing. Last week, I made my way to St. Paul for appointments with many of you to advocate for the extreme level of need for our water treatment plant rehabilitation project. A week later, it snowed nearly a foot. Sean beat the storm down, I wasn't able to. Our community, located in the state's northernmost region and along the US-Canadian border, often struggles to find funding for these core infrastructure projects. We do not receive fiscal disparities and often find our community facing construction or rehabilitation costs that are routinely 20 to 30% higher or more than other areas of our state. This is a $12 million shovel-ready project. Our ask is $4.8 million. Once again, I want to thank this committee for hearing this bill and appreciate your interest and support in this project. This is shovel ready. It's a critical needs infrastructure project that our community is in severe need of assistance with. Thank you for the time and this hearing.
Thank you for being here, Mayor Dill. Member questions? Seeing none, Representative Scraba, final thoughts.
Yeah, I just want to thank Sean Kelly here. He's a plant operator. I mean, we don't get too many operators come down, and he did a good job trying to explain what he needs to make this community work. It's a big deal for the people in International Falls and naturally a very big business that works with us too there. So thank you.
You're welcome. And I could tell the enthusiasm Mr. Kelly had, so it was kind of contagious. So thank you. And then speaking of International Falls, I just want to recognize a former member, Eklund, here. So nice to see you, Rob. All right. Next up, we have House File 643, Representative Scraba for Portage.
Yes, Madam Chair, I do have a remote person coming on. But I want to bring this up. The way this can tie into water is it is a rural fire department in a very rural area. But during the summer, a lot of people move up there. It goes from like a couple hundred people to thousands. So it's a tourist area. They have this old garage they're operating out of right now. Literally, it's a garage. It's crazy that it's still like it is what it is. And they're just looking for some. They have their local stuff. They're just looking for some small match. And I believe, is the person ready to go online?
Would you like to state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony?
Kathy, yes. Wieland.
Yep. All right, you may proceed.
Chair Franzen and committee members, my name is Kathy Wieland. I'm chief of the Bike Volunteer Fire Department, which serves here in Portage Township and the surrounding areas. And I'm representing Portage Township in a strong support of Minnesota House File 643. Thank you, Representative Scraba, for introducing this bill. We really appreciate it. Our current facilities are severely outdated, limiting our ability to efficiently provide fire protection, emergency medical response, and remote rescue operations within our vast and rugged service area, including Superior National Forest, Voyageurs National Park, and the western region of the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness, along with Kaptogama State Forest. The proposed regional public safety facility is critical, not just for the town of Portage, but for ensuring the safety and well-being of residents, visitors, tourists, and emergency responders throughout this entire region. Members, we currently operate out of what is essentially an old garage built by local volunteers. It doesn't fit our equipment. Our rescue vehicles sit outside, including UTVs, snowmobiles, and rescue trucks. And being next to the Canadian border, you know it gets cold and makes starting these machines difficult, if not impossible. We have saved money over the years, received grants, and now we need to construct this project. House File 643 provides that final funding we need. If we don't receive it, a portion of our building will not be constructed, leaving the community without a training space, equipment storage, and a community hall for town events. With this facility, we can significantly improve our response time, increase coordination among emergency services, and provide a reliable emergency shelter during natural disasters or extreme weather events, protecting our most vulnerable populations. The Bike Volunteer Fire Department and our dedicated volunteers frequently respond to remote rescue operations in the wilderness areas. A properly equipped and strategically located facility will enable us to deploy more efficiently, saving critical time and lives in emergencies. This project represents more than infrastructure. It is a vital lifeline to a community committed to serving residents and protecting the thousands who come to enjoy Minnesota's natural beauty each year. For your information, Portage Township has only 165 residents, but over 143 square miles. We serve thousands of visitors going to the national parks, boundary waters, and recreational areas. On behalf of Portage Township, I respectfully ask for your support in approving House File 643. Investing in public safety infrastructure today will undoubtedly save lives and strengthen our region for decades to come. Thank you for your time and your consideration.
Thank you, Ms. Wyand, for your testimony. Members, any questions? No? All right. Representative Scraba, final thoughts.
Yes, thank you. Really quick. This winter, they happened to have one day this winter where there were three accidents at the same time. You had Orr, Crane Lake, Bike, and International Falls acting on all these acts. And these are 80 to 100 miles between each other. So this little place is the difference between 40 minutes and 5 minutes. So if the bike fire department gets funded, if anyone gets hurt in that rural area, they have a faster chance of getting to it. So I appreciate anything we can do for them. Thanks.
Great. Thank you, Representative Scraba. Final presentations come from Representative Myers. Representative Myers, we're going to start off with House File 2655 for Minnetonka Beach, which has been in the news off and on over the years.
Yes, it has. Thank you, Madam Chair. House File 2655 is a request for $5.2 million for the city of Minnetonka Beach. As a former city council member in Minnetonka Beach, I know the struggles well of that community. And it's a small community, and we've had huge infrastructure needs. And when I mean small, I mean 228 houses have to bear the cost of these improvements. And when I mean huge, I mean new water tower, new water treatment plant, replacement of over 22,000 feet of water mains, as well as several well replacements. I'll have my testifier go into detail about the bill.
All right. You may state your name for the record and proceed.
I am Joe Pagano, Mayor of Minnetonka Beach. Thank you, Representative Myers, Chairs Franson, Lee, and committee members. Today, I will quickly share with you the backstory and financial details behind our $5.2 million request for the replacement of vital water and sewer components. 7 years ago, Minnetonka Beach faced the reality of replacing the aged water and sewer systems. The components had already exceeded or were approaching the end of their useful life, including the water tower, water mains, water treatment plant, two wells, and the sewer system. Essentially, everything was installed between 50 and 100 years ago. I want to give our superintendent a pat on the back when we get back to Minnetonka Beach. He's gotten much more life out of our infrastructure than we've heard earlier. Minnetonka Beach, a small town of just 228 homes, 530 residents, is addressing the same financial challenges as many larger cities, but without the benefit of a commercial tax base. In 2019, our city began an aggressive and costly program to replace water and sewer infrastructure. To date, the water tower and 22,000 feet of water mains have been replaced. After consulting with the Minnesota Department of Health, it was determined that resident safety required that the water treatment plant include PFAS, iron, and manganese treatment. Treating for PFAS added $2.5 million to the cost. Another $3 million was attributed to inflation. Ground was broken on a new water treatment plant in 2024. We expect this to be completed next year. The two city wells will be replaced this year. The projects are funded by the issuance of five bonds totaling $18 million. The bond debt service is being paid by residents using a combination of increased water usage fees, a water treatment plant fee, and a tax levy. Since 2022, debt service increased 249% from $373,000 to $1.3 million annually. Water usage rates have increased 126% from $5.92 to $13.40 per 1,000 gallons of water. A water treatment plant of $335 has been added to resident quarterly utility bills. Finally, an additional tax levy of $1,700 will be included in residents' property taxes starting in 2026. Beginning next year and continuing at least through 2040, the average homeowner will be paying a staggering $5,700 annually for water and sewer debt service. We have communicated this to residents. Many have been very vocal about their impact on family budgets. This past fall, our Public Works Superintendent and City Engineer, Stantec, inspected the remaining portion of the original water and sewer systems and prioritized replacements. There is much work to be done, including replacing the original water mains and key components of the sewer system. They identified 14 project locations with a combined estimated cost of $26 million. Our bonding request of $5.2 million is only for water and sewer replacement and is phase one of the $26 million. Minnesota Beach recognizes that our aggressive approach has placed a heavy burden on our residents, a burden that will remain in place for at least another 15 years. The reality is we have reached the limit of our ability to self-fund much-needed infrastructure replacement. Accordingly, we ask the state to help us by including House File 2655 in the 2025 bonding bill. Thank you very much for your attention this morning.
Thank you, Mayor Pagano, for testifying. Members, do we have any questions? Representative Carroll.
Thank you. And this is for Representative Myers or your testifier. So there's a bunch of little communities around there, like Mound and Navarre, et cetera. Chelsea's probably a little bit away. But have you looked at partnering with some of those communities to do this?
When it was...
Mayor Pagano. What? You're good. Go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair French. When it was originally scoped out about 7 years ago, that was considered, but this the route of self-funding the projects, the water tower and water treatment plant were deemed the most economical. I was not mayor at that time, but I know that it was thoroughly researched.
And Madam Chair, I'll add on to that.
Representative Myers.
I was a council member at that time, and that was one of the pushes that I made to make sure that we were looking to Orno and all options, and economically it just didn't work.
Representative Carroll.
Thank you. Yeah, anything you can do to pile on Orno would be great. Kidding.
All right. No further questions. Representative Myers, final thoughts?
Thank you, Madam Chair. 228 houses. You heard it, the tax burden of $5,700 annually. You know, they're really looking for some help here. Thanks.
Certainly. Thank you for testifying today, Mr. Pagano. Appreciate your time. Next up and final bill, House File 2530, Long Lake.
Thank you, Madam Chair. House File 2530 is a request for $11.7 million for the City of Long Lake. Long Lake is looking to address street reconstruction, water main replacement, sanitary sewer, storm water replacement. And again, another small city. Most of this infrastructure is over 60 years old, and we are here asking for your support.
All right. You may state your name for the record and proceed.
Good morning. Charlie Miner, Mayor of Long Lake. Thank you, Chair Franz and Co-Chair Lee. Pleasure to be here to talk about Long Lake's Grand Avenue Infrastructure Renewal Project. Long Lake is in western Hennepin County. We have a population just under 1,900. We have 723 households, nearly half of which are affordable to households that are at or below 80% of area medium income, and 39 of which are publicly subsidized housing units, or 1 square mile. We have not received LGA since 2009. And we do not have any public transit opportunities. Grand Avenue serves as a collector street in an area of affordable housing in the south portion of Long Lake, directing traffic to County Road 146 and is a route to our largest park. The neighborhood was developed in the early 1960s, which is when public utilities and streets were constructed. The sanitary sewer system is clay pipe that is easily cracks and breaks, resulting in high maintenance and inflow and infiltration, which is known to cause environmental issues, including impacts to surface waters. It is also a large contributor towards increasing sewer treatment rates for the city, including a just under 40% increase in 2025 by the Metropolitan Council. This project will include sewer replacement or in-place lining. Water main is cast iron pipe that has broken 7 times in the last 10 years with an average repair cost of $10,000 per break. Storm sewer in the project area is almost non-existent, with all drainage overland resulting in erosion issues and ponding water on roads and in yards, as shown in the handout I believe you received. Complete reconstruction to modern urban standards is badly needed. The total estimated cost of the project is $11.7 million. That's based on 2027 and 28 construction dollars and includes project development, construction, and contingencies. The biggest takeaway in my fourth term as the mayor of a city of our size is how expensive it is to replace streets with sanitary sewer and water mains underneath. We do set money aside each year in a pavement management fund as well as conduct assessments, but it never seems to be enough. Thank you. Willing to take any questions.
Thank you, Mayor Miner. Member questions. Chair Lee.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Mayors. I'm just curious, have you guys applied to the Met Council I&I program, and have you received any notification or any funding in the past through that program? Thank you.
Mr. Miner.
Yes, we have done that. We have received funding. We're working on them with trying to identify leaks and using some meters that they've supplied.
All right. Any other further questions? Okay, Representative Meyer, final thoughts.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, what I brought forward today was small cities, big infrastructure needs, and hopefully you guys will give us some consideration. Thank you.
Fantastic. All right, members, that concludes today with a few minutes to spare, so good job. Next meeting will be April 8th, so we are adjourned.